Father, I thank you and I praise you for all those who came out into the house of God tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you have fresh manna from heaven to feed to your children. And I know that I know that I know, Father God, that you're on the move and you're not going to stop. And let it become a reality in each heart here tonight, Father. And let them leave here strengthened and uplifted, ready to face whatever storms in life they have to face in total victory. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we learned this morning that we're in warfare, right? And we learned that God is wanting to fight our battles for us. Now it's up to you and I whether or not we allow him to fight our battles. Now tonight, he wants to talk about accountability to God. And so what is accountability? The word accountability means to be held accountable, liable, answerable, or be held responsible for what a person has been given. This is a combination of several secular definitions of this word, and it should get every believer's attention, for we will all be held accountable before the Lord someday for our actions, for what we did with what we have been given, and for what we didn't do that we should have done. Everybody's going to be held accountable. So I want you to really listen to this word. God is wanting you to hear this word tonight so that you can get yourself right with him and stay right. All right, so I said, even so, every believer will be held accountable at Christ's appearing. And so what does the Bible say about a believer's accountability before the Lord? 1 Peter 4:5 says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Then Matthew 12:36, Jesus warned, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, God will hold each individual accountable for every word spoken, even wasted idle words that could have been seasoned with grace. Hear that? Your words should have been seasoned with grace. To the edification of the hearer, every word must be accounted for. God has lent to us our life. We are responsible for our body, our actions, our time and money, our attitude, and how we spend each minute of our short earthly existence. Therefore, we are living on borrowed time from God. That's everything I'm saying. That isn't what God said yet. Now, the Bible teaches that God will judge all mankind for even the most seemingly insignificant things. And Romans 14:10 says, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. That's the scriptures. That's not me saying that. Romans 14:10-12. Then God said, my children, I come to you tonight with a profound statement. Be warned that one day you will stand before me and be judged for everything you have or have not done on this earth. And Proverbs 15:3 says, the Lord sees what happens everywhere. He watches everyone, both good and evil. Then God said, I speak to my children continually. There is never a time that I am not speaking. Then he says, you hear not because you listen not. I don't know how many people lately said, well, I don't hear the voice of God. Well, then you're not listening for the voice of God. God said, my people do not want to be accountable to anyone, especially me. They want to go through this life doing what they so desire without any consequences. Some things my children have done has been out of ignorance, and I understand that. But I also understand that they have done so many things just because they are their own boss, and no one is going to tell them what to do. God goes on to say, even when I speak to them through my prophets, they turn their noses up at the words and get angry at them and at me. And Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed because they have no knowledge. You priests have refused to learn, so I will refuse to let you be priests for me. You have forgotten the law of your God, so I will forget your children. Let's read that verse again. My people are destroyed because they have no knowledge. You priests have refused to learn, so I will refuse to let you be priest for me. You have forgotten the law of your God, so I will forget your children. They became proud. They sinned more and more against me, so I will change their honor to shame. And then God said, I am a no-compromising father, and I will never compromise my word. My word gives you fair warning as to what happens when you walk in disobedience to my word spoken either into your life or over your life. God says, my children walk on false grace. They have been taught that they can do whatever they so desire, and there will be no consequences. Nowhere in my word do you find that statement. And Proverbs 5:21 says, the Lord clearly sees everything you do. He watches where you go. The sins of the wicked will trap them. Those sins will be like ropes holding them back. Evil people will die because they refuse to be disciplined. They will be trapped by their own desires. And we know right now we live in a generation of kids, young kids, who do not like to be disciplined. And if they are disciplined, they immediately want to call 911. These are children that might never make it to heaven if they don't learn to be disciplined. Proverbs 10:21 says, good people say things that help others, but the wicked die from a lack of understanding. And Proverbs 24:12 says, if you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Now this scripture tells us that we cannot fool God. Someone once said there are no juries in heaven because you don't need them. For God knows everything about everyone at all times. You don't need a jury to go out and deliberate, right? Now, when you go to the courtroom, as I said this, when you go to the courtroom, it is Jesus, you, and the devil. And the devil is there so he can hear the verdict, right? Isn't that right? It is typical of our sinful human nature to be deceitful, play dumb, claim we were misunderstood, didn't know about a situation, had pure motives for a malicious deed, and so forth. This, you hear that all the time. Now, God said, children, it is best if you just find a nice, quiet place. Listen to what he's saying. Children, it is best if you just find a nice, quiet place and repent of all your sins and go back there no more. There is a place of safety in me, but always remember I know the true heart, and it is the heart I will judge. You know, a lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He just said so. In Jeremiah 17:9, Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, children, listen up. I really thought this was quite a statement. Listen up. There is a vengeance that I do not desire to fulfill. And that vengeance is to close the door of heaven upon you. But you are making that decision every second of your life, and it is up to you if I open the door or close the door. So let's read Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So let's go back to what God said, because the scripture covers it. Children, listen up. There is a vengeance that I do not desire to fulfill, and that vengeance is to close the door of heaven upon you. But you are making that decision every second of your life, and it is up to you if I open the door or close the door. I looked up vengeance, and it's the act of taking revenge, harming someone in retaliation for something harmful that they have done, especially in the next life. In Deuteronomy 32:35, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God said, I'm going to hold you accountable for every gift I have bestowed upon you. I'm going to hold you accountable for every little lamb that you slaughtered. I'm going to hold you accountable for the lost and dying you would not harvest. I'm going to hold you accountable for every idle word spoken. You need to know that it is now accountability time, and some are not faring so well. And I said, the Lord expects us to use these gifts for his glory, these gifts that he's given us. God said, since when do you think I overlook deliberate transgressions? I cannot overlook deliberate transgressions. Did I overlook David's transgression with Bathsheba? Absolutely not. He had to pay for his infidelity. What happened to Samson? He had to pay the price for his sinful behavior. All through my word, you will find where deliberate transgressions were never overlooked. Come, children, let us reason together. Let us get this cleared up this day, and then never go back to your sinful ways ever again. Now, when he's talking about deliberate transgressions, it's when you know to do good and you do bad. You know it's a sin, but you do it anyhow. That's called a deliberate transgression. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 said, if we say that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. We can trust God to do this. He always does what is right. He will make us clean from all the wrong things we have done. If we say that we have not sinned, we are saying that God is a liar and that we don't accept his true teaching. And then 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, people can build on that foundation using gold, silver, jewels, wood, grass, or straw. But the work that each person does will be clearly seen because the day will make it plain. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work. If the building they put on the foundation still stands, they will get the reward. But if their building is burned up, they will suffer loss. They will be saved, but it will be like someone escaping from a fire. Now, this verse should be a key verse for every believer. Because although we are not saved by works, we will be rewarded according to what we did for Jesus while on the earth. If our works were for our own glory and not for the glory of God, then our work is burned and we will suffer loss, even though we will be saved, yet so as through fire. But if we do things for the glory of God alone, then we are building our rewards with a foundation that has gold, silver, precious stones, and our works will come through the fire. If our good works are only for the purpose of being seen by others and not of Christ, then, like wood, hay, and straw, they will all be burned up, and we will have little or nothing to show for our life while in the body. Everything we have to do has to be for God and to bring God glory. We should never bring glory to ourselves. God should always get the glory for all things. And James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is what is called a sin of omission, things we did not do. We are always going to be judged for what we don't do. If we see our brother has needs and do nothing about it, but say, brother, I am sorry, I will pray for you, but do nothing to help, then for those who know to do good and yet does not do it, to them it is sin. If you see a brother or sister in need, what this is saying is that you should help them. Now let's read a scripture on that. Matthew 25:31. Jesus said, the Son of Man will come again with divine greatness, and all his angels will come with him. He will set his king on his great and glorious throne. All the people of the world will be gathered before him. Then he will separate everyone into two groups. It will be like a shepherd separating his sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to the godly people on his right, come, my Father has great blessings for you. The kingdom he promises now yours. It has been prepared for you since the world was made. And Jesus said, it is yours because when I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you welcomed me into your home. When I was without clothes, you gave me something to wear. And when I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. Then the godly people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and welcome you into our home? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and care for you? Then the king will answer, the truth is, anything you did for any of my people here, you also did for me. What you do for others, you are doing to Jesus also. Then the king will say to the evil people on his left, get away from me. God has already decided that you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You must go away because when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. When I had no place to stay, you did not welcome me into your home. When I was without clothes, you gave me nothing to wear. When I was sick and in prison, you did not care for me. Then those people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you without a place to stay? Or when did we see you without clothes or sick or in prison? When did we see any of this and not help you? The king will answer, the truth is anything you refuse to do or for any of my people here, you refuse to do for me. Then these evil people will go away to be punished forever, but the godly people will go enjoy eternal life. We need to start helping our brothers and sisters who are in need. We need to even help people outside the church that are in need. We need to start doing to them what we would do for Jesus if he was sitting here, or if he was sitting out on a street corner begging for food. Are you listening here? Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Let's read that again. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, Paul is saying that they knew better in their hearts. They knew that God exists, but they suppressed this knowledge. And so God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And that's in Romans 1:24 and 25. And then Romans 1:26 says, because people did those things, they knew to do right, but they did wrong. Because people did those things, God left them and let them to do the shameful things they wanted to do. Women stopped having natural sex with men and started having sex with other women. In the same way, men stopped having natural sex with women and began wanting each other all the time. Men did shameful things with other men, and in their bodies they received the punishment for those wrongs. Paul says, people did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God, so God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking, and so they do what they should not do. What's he say here? People did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God, so God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking, and so they do what they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, greed, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst things about each other, and they gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude, proud, and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They don't obey their parents. They are foolish. They don't keep their promises, and they show no kindness or mercy to others. They know God's law says that anyone who lives like that should die. But they not only continue to do these things themselves, but they also encourage others who do them. The Bible does not lie. And people are taking the Bible out of context, and you are going to have to be held accountable to God for that. I was reading somewhere in the news tonight that someplace in Oregon, I forgot where, it has just become a lawless town. There's no law in that town. And I'm thinking, how soon is it going to be before that spreads throughout the United States of America? If the church does not rise up and take their rightful place in the community and declare what is wrong and what is right, and we need to quit backing down to every one of the devil's commands, and we need to start letting our voices be heard among the people. We're so afraid to tell the truth. We're so afraid we're going to be put in prison, and we can be. We're so afraid we're going to be shot. We can be. But God says, do not walk in fear, and we cannot deny the truth of the word. I don't want to stand before God and be held accountable for your sin because I was afraid that I would go to prison if I told you what you were doing is wrong. Because the minute I do that, I've already made my own prison. I've already put bars around myself. Are you understanding this? We have to stand up for what is right. Luke 12:48 states, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. In other words, you know, if you never heard the gospel, then you don't know what to do. You don't know what's right and what's wrong. So God's not going to punish him a little bit, but he's not going to, you know, throw them into the lake of fire. But you sitting in the house of God, you know too much of the word, and you're going to be punished for what you do because you know better. And you're also becoming a stumbling block to those people around about you. All right, this scripture in Luke 12:48 speaks of judgment. The more often a person hears the gospel and yet rejects the gospel, the more accountable they will be held because they knew what was required of them and yet refused to do it. See that? If you sit in this service two times, you knew too much already, and you're going to be held accountable for it. For the one who didn't know as much about the gospel, like the native in the deep, dark recesses of the jungle, they will not have as much required of them. I was reading an article about the natives in Africa, and they don't even know there is a Jesus. They've never heard the gospel. And, you know, so those people are not going to be held accountable because they don't know. In America, there is no excuse for those who have not responded to the gospel because they have easy access to it and may have heard the truth of the word of God expressed many times, but have never responded to it. In that case, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and more will be demanded. You might be saved in your household, and you might have people in your household who aren't saved. They see you live in the life of Jesus before them, and you even talk to them about the Bible and about Jesus and what they should or should not do, but they keep shunning you and keep denying Christ. Those are going to be held accountable because they lived with you and you told them the truth of the word and they still denied it. All right. Accountability to God is not a theory. It is a fact, and we will all stand before God on judgment day and give account for what we have or have not done. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Everyone will get what they should. They will be paid for whatever they did, good or bad, when they lived in this earthly body. We will all have to give account in eternity for every thought, every unkind word, every slander, every gossiping word, whether spoken or typed, every second wasted. And how may waste an awful lot of time? Every dirty show watched, every lustful thought, every hateful thought, every grudge, every deed, no one is going to get away with anything. Now, I want Brother Brett to stand up and give his testimony of what God showed him.
Yes, so years ago, I had a dream or an encounter, and back then I didn't know, I didn't understand too much of God, but in this, what happened was I went to sleep, and when I woke up, I was in what I now know is a courtroom, and everything was really bright, and as I stood there, there was a line of people lined up as far as the horizon, as far as you could see, there was people single file. And these were everybody that I had ever encountered or interacted with or affected in my lifetime in some way, shape, or form. And one person would step forward, and everything that I had ever said, done, thought, or felt about that person, whether it was out in the open or in secret, it was all broadcasted, like you could watch it on a TV screen almost. And that person was then made aware of everything I had said or done, thought, or felt to their face or behind their back. And they were allowed to respond to me as they were being made aware of everything from the moment that I was born till the day I died. And then when that was done, the next person came and stood forward, and the whole process repeated itself. It was such a horrible feeling of shame and humiliation and guilt. But I think it was very important to experience that because it gives you a new perspective and says, hey, this is going to happen if you don't change your ways, if you don't repent. And all things done in darkness will be brought to the light. So it was very important, I feel, to consider the impact or the implications of what God was showing in that vision.
When I was typing that, I thought about the testimony that Brother Brett had given us quite a while ago about that. So he really can say amen to that. He's witnessed that, and God allowed him to see that. Now, you need to understand that as we was reading the scriptures, that what God said there at one point was, the sins we did, like we just read, if we go before God and we repent, true repentance, then God receives that true repentance and he wipes those sins away. And on judgment day, you won't be judged for those. Then you can't go and do them again, though. If you go and repent and never do those sins again, on judgment day, you will not be held accountable for those sins because you already got it right now. But if you don't repent, well, let me just say, if you do repent and go back and do them again, your repentance thing is wiped out. It just isn't anymore. So what you need to do is you need to think really hard, what is it that I've done that I shouldn't be doing because I know better? And even if you don't know better, I always say, God, sins I know of and sins I don't know of. Because you're like God said, he knows we do some sins in ignorance and he takes that into consideration. But if you tell God you truly repent of sins you have done and sins you didn't do, I mean, didn't know you were doing, well, then God receives that true repentance and wipes your slate clean. Now, I wrote down, what did God say earlier to us? And this is what God said. Come, children, let us reason together. Let us get this cleared up this day and then never go back to your sinful ways ever again. I am the Lord God Almighty, and I am calling you forth this night to repentance from all your evil works, never to go back to them, and allow me to cleanse you so judgment does not fall upon you. Every day that you stay in sin, if you're a child of God and you stay in sin, a soul goes to hell. Well, God told me every second, because you're not at your post, you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing, you're not cleaned up, you're still in sin. So the soul that God had appointed for you to talk to get saved goes to hell. And you're going to be held accountable for all those lost souls. God said, I am calling you forth this night because of my great love for you, and I do not desire for any of my children to spend eternity in the great abyss. Every answer is in my word. Never despair over life, for I have laid out before you all you will ever need. And Job 34:10 says, therefore, listen to me, Job saying this, you men of understanding, far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. You will be held accountable for everything you are doing. So what if you died today and you were standing before the judgment seat of God? How would you fare? God said some won't fare too well. So you need to ask yourself, how would I fare if my heart stopped beating and I died? Would you fare well? Could you walk face to face to God and have him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Or would you be afraid that he would say, depart from me, I do not know you? I don't care if you prophesy. I don't care how many people you've raised from the dead. I don't care about those type of things, because if you're not living the life that God's called you to live, then you are causing others to stumble. And God is very adamant about this. And when he talked to me about this accountability teaching he wanted to give, he said, my people are perishing daily. And when they stand before me, they're not going to go to heaven because they are not following my gospel. And Luke 20:17 says, then Jesus looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And that's Jesus. He said, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. In other words, if you repent. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. If you don't repent, it's going to crush you. If right now tonight you say, God, I just repent of all my evil ways. I won't ever go back to those ways ever again. God receives that. But if you don't do that, then you're going to be judged, and you're going to be judged harshly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God and have him line up souls that are falling into hell and say it's because of the way you lived and they watched what you were doing that they're down there. I don't want to ever have to go through that. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't think about it or you don't care. But I don't want to be responsible for anybody's soul going to hell. That's why I preach the gospel the way God gives it to me. I really don't care who it hits or how it cuts, because it's God's word. He's the one who's speaking it, and we have his Bible, which is his word, and his word is yes, and it's amen. And it's up to each and every one of us to live out the word and live it like Jesus did. Live it like read about the disciples. They went through all kind of bad things, but they did not give up on God, and they all died horrible deaths, but they all went praising the Lord and went to heaven. So what's in your heart tonight? What kind of life are you? Are you living a double life? You sit, come into the house of God and raise your hands and you worship, say hallelujah and dance all over the place. And then you go out and you do all kind of evil things. I know a lot of people sit in the house of God and do that. And that's not pleasing to God. And this is why he's getting us cleaned up for the glory drop. And tonight is accountability night to God, to all of you in here who have know the word and to know better, and you're not doing the word, you need to get it together. Because I'm going to tell you, God said, if you're not right, when the glory hits, it'll kill you. And then you're not going to have a chance to say, God, I want to get it right, because you've already missed your chance. I want you to be searching your hearts right now. And I want you to, you have to be not only searching your hearts, you have to be determining, how am I going to live the rest of my life? Am I going to serve God faithfully, get out of sin and stay out of sin? Or am I still going to try to live my life living on a fence that doesn't even exist anymore? You have to be serious about this tonight. God said, I want you to open up your hearts wide to me, and I want you to pour out all those things to me that are hindering you from being a true example of what I'm all about. And God keeps telling us over and over again, your workplace, you should be an example of Jesus Christ at all times. If you're a man and you're looking down some woman's cleavage and you're claiming to be a child of God, no, you're not. You're just telling a lie, because a child of God wouldn't do that. Do you see what I'm saying here? You know, or if you're a woman and saying you're a child of God, and a man walks into the church with tight pants and says, "Wow, look at that hunk." See, those thoughts should never be in your mind. That's not a mind of Christ, and you need to get your mind washed and cleansed so that you don't think like that, because that's why you have so much adultery and all the other junk you have in the house of God, is because your mind, the body of Christ has minds that are messed up, that are filthy, and they need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. The altar is open tonight if you want to come up and just really tell God, "I am so sorry. I am so sorry for being in your house and acting like I'm in the devil's house." There's been a heaviness in the atmosphere for about a month now, and that heaviness is because the enemy is trying to destroy God's children, and God's trying to get his children cleaned up so the enemy can't take them out. And this is your chance tonight to stand before God and just tell him, "I'm really sorry."